Good morning, church. We have songs to sing here this morning. We are alive. We are in church. That makes for a great combination. Let's stand. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you once again that we can be here today. And now, Father God, as it says in your word, we're going to come to you in spirit and in truth. And Father, we know that when we line up with the word of God, that you can move unrestricted through us. And that is what we want to be today, simply a conduit of praise, simply going up to you and you coming back down through your Holy Spirit moving among us. So we thank you for this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
I will say Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we live and move and have our being. Make joyful noise, woo! Sing to the Lord. Tell Him of your love, dance before Him. Make joyful noise, woo! Sing to the Lord.
If you have found that to be true, go and share that with each other this morning. Thank you.
sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before.
Amen.
verse 3, it says, and then as death, you know, death is something that a lot of people fear here on this earth. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. You know, when we pass, when that moment comes, we pass over to the other side and the angels take us. And however we travel, whether it's the speed of thought, however they travel, who knows? But we're going to see heaven as it's approaching. It's talking about, you know, I'll see the lights of glory. And it's not going to be a feeling of trepidation or fear. It's going to be excitement. Excitement. We have graduated at that point. We have graduated. Nothing to fear. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Amen.
Just
Master died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all compares with you.
Sitting there looking at that overhead, it's a silhouette of the cross and Jesus. Most of us, including myself, will never really understand. In theory, I understand what happened to him on the cross, of having to hang there and push yourself up and bleeding, not bleeding to death, but dying slowly of asphyxiation, and seeing people who hate you below, mocking you, cursing you. Seeing your own mom weeping, crying bitterly, just she didn't understand. And then God the Father separates himself from him. Jesus cried out, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was when the full sin, the full wrath of God came down upon him. Shortly thereafter, he bowed his head and he simply said, it is finished. And that was the end of the beginning. End of the beginning. And that is why we can sing this song. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let's sing that one more time.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy grace, salvation so rich and free. Saving my soul. Thank you.
We're going to do something different today. We'll pray and you repeat these words after me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff will comfort me. He will prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He will anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, mercy and grace shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That's all. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that we can all agree that you are shepherd, and we shall not want. We shall not want physically. We shall not want spiritually. We shall not want financially. Oh, Lord, we are victorious in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors. Oh, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And great is he that is within us than he that's in the world. You are the God that healeth us. You are the Jehovah Rapha. You are the great physician. And no weapons formed against us shall prosper. Hallelujah. And we command today the spirit of infirmity to lose anyone in this body of believers, to lose the pastor right now in the name of Jesus. And command the spirit of infirmity right now to be bound, chained, taken to prison by God's holy angels. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus went to the cross. Oh, for he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. and with his stripes we are healed. And we claim it today that we are healed by his stripes in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can declare today your marvelous works. You declare the things that you've done in our lives. And all we need to do, call upon the name of the Lord, and we shall be delivered, and we shall be healed. Oh, and we shall be set free. Hallelujah. For we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Hallelujah, praise his holy name, praise his holy name. Oh, what a mighty God we serve, what a wonderful Savior, what a blessed Redeemer, what a mighty King, hallelujah, Master of everything, his name is wonderful, his name is Lord, hallelujah. And we want to thank you today, O Lord, for touching us. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit moving today in such a mighty way, like we never thought before. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let no one be left untouched. Let no one be indifferent. Let no one be in apathy. But let us all be participants. Let us all be partakers. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for giving this body the victory in Jesus Christ, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And let the high praises of God in our mouth and the two-edged sword in our hands. Oh, we love you, Lord. We appreciate you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. We pray, O Lord, that you touch the pastors. He will deliver the message to us. Give him the freedom to preach. Let the word come out with power and pierce us like a two-edged sword. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord God, for victory today. Oh, Lord, you are also, O Lord, the God that shall supply all our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We said before, you are a shepherd and we shall not want. And we thank you and praise you for meeting every need in this body. Oh, believe us, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Father, O Lord, out of what you have given us. O Lord, let us give today to the work of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, and God shall supply all our needs. And we want to thank you and praise you today, O Lord, for such a breakthrough in this body of believers. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And let us bless the Lord at all times, and his praise be continually in our mouth. And Lord, we want to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. We ask you also, Lord, that you will bless the finances of the church. More and more, more and more, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that every need will be met. And we want to thank you and praise you, Lord, oh, for being a shepherd. And we want to give you all the praise. We want to give you all the glory, all the honor, and pray this in Jesus' precious and a mighty name. And all God's children shouted, amen.
Praise the Lord. And good morning to you. We're going to have the Lord's Supper today. And God showed me this morning that I want to do it a little bit different. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to me to Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 12. So many times we have the Lord's Supper, and it's routine. We just do it. It's done in the church. And why do we take communion? What's the reason for that? And the reason took place 3,000 years ago in Egypt, and before the Israelites were taken out. We read it from Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of the fathers, a lamb for the house. If the house shall be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You should take it out from the sheep or from the goats. You keep it up unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall eat, and they shall take out the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door, post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and of unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of raw, nor salt at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain till the morning, and that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with haste, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses, wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you, to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. You shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Some 2,000 years before Christ, in Jerusalem, actually in Egypt, God spoke here, and it was actually Jesus speaking, and told them, you take a lamb, it has to be without blemish. And you know that Jesus Christ is without blemish. You shall take the blood, and when they struck it over the doorpost, that was a token that the angel of death would not go into that house, but it will pass over. When you hear the word Passover, it simply meant the angel of God passed over that house and did not kill a firstborn. For 2,000 years, they kept that feast, the Passover. If you turn out to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, I want to pick it up here as Jesus instituted us. This is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. And we read from verse number 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. We just talked about that. And he, Jesus, sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we might eat it. And they said to him, where will you that we prepare? And he said to them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man made to bearing a pitcher of water follow him to the house where he enters in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master says unto you, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Jesus instituted the Passover in Egypt. The same Jesus, the Son of God, now in Jerusalem. 2,000 years later, he knows now, I am going to be the Passover. He's only 24 hours away from his death on the cross. And look what he says here in verse number 15. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For 2,000 years, every year, when they had a Passover in Israel, Jesus must have been pacing up and down in a throne room in heaven and saying, oh, I want to come down. I want to come down and finish that. We sang about the blood today. And then he said this, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. We do not have the lamb anymore, because Jesus is the lamb. And we don't eat the lamb anymore. He died for us once and rose again. But he took two things out of Passover. And I want you to understand that. Two things out of Passover was taken out. The cup and the bread. There are a lot of people, Messianic Jews and so on, and they like to celebrate the Passover. If you celebrate the Passover, you are crucifying Jesus again. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourself. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to him, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. And truly, the Son of Man goes, as was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. As you take out a Lord's Supper today, I want you to think about this. At the time of Jesus, at this time, they had no chairs. But they had low tables that maybe been about maybe 2 feet high. And you would actually lay around the tables on carpets. And can you imagine Jesus now, knowing that Judas Iscariot was going to betray him? The man that sold him for 30 pieces of silver was there. And up to this time, Jesus loved him. Remember now, Judas could have asked for forgiveness, but Judas made a choice to hang himself. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but Peter asked for forgiveness, and he was forgiven. We are now about 1,000 years away from that last Passover in Jerusalem. Jesus Christ today, actually, excuse me, we are 2,000 years away from that. And Jesus is now in heaven, looking down and saying, they are still doing it. And now how much he must say, I am waiting to come back and finish it when he will return. I wanted us to have this clear. We're not going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 today. But Paul said before we take the Lord's Supper, we should ask for forgiveness. We can't judge ourselves. And you know, there's always strife. Let that sink in. There's always strife. In the families, in the church. And this day is no other day. It's been strife the last 24 hours. What we should do right now is to simply say this. I will forgive the one who hurt me. I will forgive the one that offended me. And dear God, forgive me for offending somebody else. So let's take a few moments and ask God to forgive us and to cleanse us that we should be able to take the Lord's Supper. Would you pray with me? My Heavenly Father, as we approach the Lord's Supper, now I'm thinking about it. 2,000 years before Jesus came, and now we are 2,000 years after Jesus came. Lord, there was strife here this morning. Father God, I pray that we be able to forgive one another. Lord, we have spoken words that we should have spoken at times, wounded someone. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for the anger we've had. Forgive us, Father God, for neglecting things we should have done. And most of all, my Heavenly Father, forgive us for having sinned against you. And we thank you that we no longer have to slaughter a lamb. It is done. That we can come today, Lord, and eat the bread, and take the cup, Lord, and remember that you paid our sins. Thank you, Father God, for forgiving each one of us. And Lord, let your Holy Spirit give us the strength to forgive and to forget and to love instead of hate. And I thank you right now for your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would the elders come and prepare the table? very happy today to celebrate communion. We invite you that are with us, watching us in different parts of the world, to partake with us. It's a privilege to gather around this table. And I'm going to ask Brother Thomas if you lead us in a prayer for the cup.
Father God, we want to thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, Lord, and to take part in the Lord's Supper. And Father, we know that the blood of Jesus is the key to eternal life, and it is the it is the atonement for our sin, Lord. And we know that we're all sinners, and we have need to be forgiven. And so we thank you, Father, that Jesus shed his blood in our place. And the word says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So we want to say thank you for sending your son to pay the price for our sin. And we recognize that. And we receive that in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for such a great salvation. And we thank you, Jesus, for doing the work of the Father. And we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus gave the cup out first. And after that, he took the bread. Normally, we do the bread first and the cup last. We're going to do it today according to the Gospel of Luke. And if you have children here, we do not recommend that children take it unless they are saved. If you have been born again, we welcome you at the table. Some people like to stand when they take communion. We welcome to do that. If you want to sit, you can do that too. So whatever you prefer. So you pass the cup. Would you hold that? Then we take it together. This cup in our hand, I want you to remember that Jesus died for our sins. And someday when we get into heaven, we're going to plead one thing, the blood of Jesus. Let us drink it and be thankful and praise him for it.
Thank you.
Say, Minor, Jesus took the bread. This is unleavened bread. And I said it many times. You can see this piece right now is whole. And some 2,000 years ago, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And it can never again be put back together. And he said, take you and eat this bread. So, Terrence, will you pray for the bread?
Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the opportunity, O Lord, to partake the bread of your body that you was broken for us, O Lord. And we thank you and praise you, O Lord, for such a sacrifice, O Lord, for our sins. Oh, what a suffering, O Lord, you went through. And we will thank you and praise you, O Lord, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for us. You bore our griefs and you carried all our sorrows. For he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for healing in this body of believers. And we praise you and thank you, Heavenly Father, for having the opportunity to do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As you pass out the bread, will you take it and hold it? Then we eat it together. Remember Jesus, he took that bread. The 12 men around the table. And as they ate, that they could not understand what would happen to the cross. They did not know that he was going to be rising again. But Jesus said, take and eat of my body. This is not the body of Jesus, this is bread symbolic. But he gave his life for us. And when you eat this, thank him that he gave his body for you and me. Charles, I want you to take your son and come on up here with me. As I was standing here watching, I saw little Andrew take the communion for the first time today. And this week, he gave his life to Christ. You want to share a little bit about that, Charles?
It is exciting to be able to lead your child to Christ. To realize when they take those first few steps out on their own, that you have been prodding them along, but you realize that you cannot force Christ on them. It's an individual thing that everybody has to do. And it's been many, many years laying a foundation with Andrew, with Isaac, reading the Bible. He knows his scripture. He knows his doctrine. And we've been moving a little bit away from the picture Bible and just to reading the regular Bible, just black and white words. And we had read about the war in heaven in Revelation chapter 12 when Satan lost. And the next night, Andrew had asked me, he said, let's hear more about this war in heaven. I said, well, I said, there's one other spot that I'm aware of. So I took him to Luke chapter 10, and we read that. And it was where Jesus sent out the 70 others. And about 10, 12 verses into it, they come back, and they're rejoicing. And Jesus said, you know, don't rejoice that the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. And so that was kind of our little intro into that, and we got to be discussing that. The Bible says that today is a day of salvation. And so I had asked Andrew. He knew the plan of salvation. He understands the redemption plan. And so I said, would you like to do it today, tonight? He said, maybe tomorrow. It's a little trepidation. And I said, well, you know what, Andrew? I said, what if you never get tomorrow? It's not a scare tactic. It's reality. I mean, we always assume that we have tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. We're not planning on dying. I said, but what happens if you were going to the store with mom? Just, you know, you're going to the store to get something, and you were going through an intersection, and you got into a car accident, and only you were killed. I said, you were to step out of your body. I said, what would happen to you at that point? He said, it's too late. I said, that's right. So, it is a pleasure and a joy to be able to share Christ and to be able to stand up front and to be able to say that Andrew has taken a stand for Christ in his life. And that he has ensured that his name is written in the book of life. The most important book that there is here in the entire universe.
Thank you. God bless you. Love you. Praise the Lord. We're going to get into our prayer time. And I'm really thankful. When I got started this morning, I was under the weather, and I've been not doing too well for the last few days. And when I got up here to lead in the communion, I recognized that God had given me back my strength. When I was sitting down here, it was kind of not having a lot of strength and kind of listless. But God is good, and I want to thank you for praying for me. I want to thank the church for the way that you have responded the last 2 weeks, helping out the Stanley family. And they have now a nice furnished house. And I want to thank each one of you that gave to this family. And I'm sure that they are very thankful, and they will express it to you when they have a chance. I'm going to start with a census for 2010. I received a copy to fill out, and I want to take a stand, a public stand, and share with you what I think should be done. I have been through a number of censuses, but I've never been through a census where you have that many questions for one person. And what they're asking you is if you own or you rent the house, what is your telephone number? They want to know your name, your last and first name. They want to know what sex you are, male or female. It's amazing they don't say here if you're homosexual. They didn't ask for that. I'm surprised. And they want to know your age. They want to know the date of birth. And then they want to know what kind of person you are. If you're Hispanic, Latino, Mexican, Chicano, Puerto Rican, Cuban. And they want to know that. And they also want to know if you're white, black, African-American, or Negro. They have one on here. If you're an American Indian or Alaskan Native. And they have a whole bunch of questions here where they ask you from. And then they want to find out if someone is in college or if you're at child custody, if you're military, if you're in a nursing home. And I guess if you're in a nursing home, somebody else had to fill it in. But anyway, according to the Constitution, they have a right to do a census. And there's one question they can only ask. How many people live in this house? That's it. So I filled this in, and I simply said, we have two people living in this house, period. And I wrote this. The Constitution calls for the count, the people, nothing else. We are two people living here. So if you haven't filled it out yet, and if you are going to fill it out, the questionnaire here, the questions, answers, will go into a national computer system. And if they do pass the healthcare reform, this is going to be a giant database that is going to be the beginning of the end for our nation as free people. So I want to share that with you. All right, here we have some prayer requests now. This is from Mill Valley, and this is from Alice Torres in California. Hope all are well with you. I'm unemployment. I am on unemployment and using time to pursue my passion, writing. I'm writing on a mystery novel. I'll need to get a caregiving job later this year and will be asking for prayer on that. But in the meanwhile, I'm enjoying where God has me. And may God bless you and Ina me. So we're going to pray for her today. And then we got another one here. And this, I do not know where it is coming from. It could come from any place. But it's a great one. For the first time, I found a website that comes together with what I feel in my heart and know about the gospel, God's plan of salvation, and the evil command of Satan in this world. I'm not a big fan on the internet, but I found this website simple and showing only what is really necessary. I'll be praying for you. May God bless you always. And it's not signed, so we don't know who it is. But somebody got blessed. Well, people have been asking, what about Germany? We got a letter from Germany this week, and I'd like to share that with you. It's been some time again since I sent you a message, so I want to give you a short report from us over here again. But I am assured that in the meantime, you know that if you don't hear from us, that means that everything is okay with us. Otherwise, I would contact you. So there's nothing wrong with us. The only thing is that we, like always, are very busy. And I know that this is the same with you. 2.5 weeks ago, we had a heavy storm over here, and it ripped out a huge tree with its root in my grandmother's front yard. It fell so that nobody could get in the house and nobody could get out. So we had to care for this problem and for various other problems that almost weekly show up in connection with my grandmother, her properties, her house, the doctor, her nurse, etc. One time, Raymond had to visit one of the men who has rented a storage yard for my grandmother, but did not pay his rent for the months. This man got so mad at the great Raymond and choked him. He was able to free himself and get the money. Now, Raymond is a big man. But you see that our life is never boring. We are contacted by more and more people via the website to ask for help. At the moment, we're ministering to two people intensively. The first one is a woman, and they give a name, and I'll leave that out, with whom mostly I am in contact. She has the same problem that I had 3 years ago. She's always beating herself up, thinking that she's not doing good enough to please God, getting doubts concerning her salvation, searching day and night on the internet for new material to read or listen to, but not being able to digest much of it and being thrown into new doubts by it, beating herself up again, and on the circle goes. She has a husband who is spiritually lazy and not able to help her, and she goes to a church that is not following Rick Warren and company, and that makes her very unhappy because she recognized that this is not good. I can relate to that woman wonderfully. We have a similar type of nature. She's also very sharp in her thinking, which I appreciate. I know exactly how she feels and what she's going through because it is the same that I myself went through. This is a good basis to work with her, and she always tells me that it really helps her to talk and pray about things with me and to read our material or to listen to special sermons, which I recommend to her. And then we have this. The second person we're helping is a young man who came to us with endless problems, sicknesses, thoughts of suicide, etc. After hours of counseling, we went with him through the deliverance material and had a deliverance session with him. Raymond has talked to him on the phone for hours, explaining important truth to him. He's in his early 20s, and so we are the age of his parents. He knows that he can call us for prayer and help if he needs it, and that gives him security and is always encouraged. This case also shows a lot of things I've gone through myself. For the sickness, symptoms were very, very similar to the ones I always dealt with, and also his way of coping and all of this. He has other problems, depression, thoughts of suicide, or things that Raymond knows from personal experience. So again, we have a person who we can tell that we have been exactly through the same thing and that it is possible to come out of it through Jesus Christ. Of course, we're not able to minister too much to more people that intensively. And as more and more people contact us for help, we would need other people to join us in this ministry. So you see that God is using us and that we are not able to pass on the help you gave us 2 years ago or 3 years ago when we were down to zero, like these people now were. And they say Sophia is doing well. She got a new bicycle because she had grown so much and the old one didn't fit anymore. Be sure to greet Ina and all others from the church. Give them also a big hug from us so we can do the hugging afterwards. That's a good report from Germany. And if you remember, touch and go. You know how we prayed and prayed and prayed? And now they are ministering in the same way to other people, which reinforce it, and you get healed yourself when you do that. Now, we got a letter from Grace Mann, Torbjörn, and his wife. And I just want to share a couple of things that we're going to pray for today. And it says this, I'll translate as I go. Our daughter Leah told me yesterday that her teacher is reading loud from a book that is called The Door in the Floor. And it is about an old professor who had demons as pets. And then he died, so a new girl with a family moved over into the house. And they were now in charge of feeding these demons because these demons lived under the room in her house, under that little hatch. That's what a hatch is, English word. The girl even throws down her stepfather to the demons that promptly eats him. I had to ask Leah twice if this is really true, and she said yes. So we want to pray for that God will move upon that family, upon that teacher. And also they have found a house that they possibly can buy. And we want also to pray that that will happen for them. She was also attacked last week when a demon came and said that their son Samuel was going to die. And so she wanted to pray for that this will not happen. And he's a miracle boy. When she was pregnant for the 12th week, she woke up one night with blood in the bed. They went to the hospital, and the doctor said, I could not keep the child. And they tested it with ultrasound. And she had lost a whole lot of the water in her uterus. And she was staying in the hospital. She said, I was very sad. I was desperate. But Jesus healed me. And Samuel, for after 2 days in the hospital, I could feel God holding on to my uterus. And I understood that God was healing me. The doctor that examined me the day after believed that he got the wrong patient. He had several times had me to repeat my name and my social security number, and he still didn't believe it. He tested it out with 3 different ultrasound machines. They all had the same result. And then he said, well, we're going to try a 4th one because there's something wrong with you. But he couldn't find it. So then he said, well, I guess you're going to have the baby. And she said, I told him, God is in this. And the doctor said, I guess that's the way it is. So when she was in week 28, the name Samuel came to me and understood that the Lord wanted that a child should have that name as a testimony that Samuel is a boy given by God. So we're going to pray for these things here. So I'm going to read here very quickly. The demon ruler named Destroyer has been restrained this week, and for this we are praising God. But we know that these demons are not gone, and the people attacked are still not willing to be set free from these demonic powers. More prayer is needed. We are down to 10 days of the month of March. We need to raise $2,000 to pay for the rent of the church facilities, plus another $1,000 to pay bills. Whatever we can come up with more will be used to pay salary for the pastor. Please pray for this need. Our giving is down in the mail. A lot of people have simply gone some other place, and so we need to pray for this. We have now got sunshine for a week in California. More rain is needed if we are going to get out of the drought this year. The price of oil ended up flat for a 2nd week. The price ended at $80.68 a barrel. The speculators tried hard this week to push up the price, and at one time had it over $83 per barrel. There's a war in the spirit world, and let's keep praying that Satan's force shall be defeated and the speculators lose money. And today, the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. will vote on health care reform. If this bill passes, it will be another step to a total people control in the United States. Help us to pray against this bill that it will die. Prayer warriors, please come on up here and join us.
Father God, thank you for this day, Lord, and the time that we can pray for people, Lord. We know that this is your power program. And Father, I want to lift up first all the Latino people that are listening by the internet around the world, Lord, and in Mexico. And we thank you, Father God, that you would give them eyes to see and ears to hear the truth of the gospel. And we thank you for that, Lord. And then also I want to lift up Ramiro today. And we know he's going through a lot of opposition to coming to church here. And we know who is at the root of that. And in the name of Jesus, we bind those demons that are trying to take him out. And we thank you, Father God, for strength for Ramiro. And that he will be able to come into his calling and into the kingdom of God where you would have him to operate, Lord. So we thank you for strength for him. And then I also want to lift up this situation in the Congress where the President of the United States has been going around soliciting these men for votes to shove socialism down our throat here in America. And we reject that in the name of Jesus. We believe in God-given freedom. So we reject socialism. We reject welfare. And we embrace the welfare that is provided by God Almighty. And that is, when we pray, He handles our welfare. And when we give into His kingdom, He returns it back to us. This is the kind of true welfare that we believe in. And then, Father, we thank You that this bill is going to be defeated. They're all going to be sent packing. And in November, we'll send every one of them home. And we will have not one incumbent in that Congress, because they have betrayed America, and they have forgotten the Bible, and they have lived as kings and princes on our backs. And so, Father, we thank You for some justice to be done in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. And let each and every one of them know that their life hangs in the balance, and You're holding it. And let them not forget it, Lord. And I thank You, Father, for a real big defeat for Obama Nation. Yes. And I thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear God, I just come to You and thank You for Yourself, Son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for us, saving us from the lake of fire. Lord, I come to You this morning, God, on Your holy ground, thanking You and praising You and worshiping You, God, the Father, Jesus, Your Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. God, I just come to You right now with the situation with the oil prices in America and throughout the world. God, how You are, everything is, You're holding everything in place. Lord God, I just pray and ask You to have the people that are in charge of these situations with the oil and gas, that You would move on them, and that You would cause them to realize that it's not beneficial to them or to anyone to have these high prices of oil and gas. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray and ask You that You will bind up the demons and the demonic forces and the entities that are surrounding the situation. Lord God, I just pray and ask You that You will remove the devil's power and hands upon our country, and that You give us back our nation, one nation under God, with our Bibles, the King James Bible, and not all the other watered down versions, but King James. And Lord God, I just pray and ask You for Your guidance in this area. And thank You, because the victory is on its way. And I praise You. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Alice, our sister in the Lord, who has given something for Your kingdom that shall not be forgotten. And I thank You, my Heavenly Father, that You will bless her, and especially bless her with a job as a caretaker. That's what she wants. And we pray for that, God, that you in your mercy and grace will give her that job. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, I want to ask you, first of all, regarding the weather. And while I have been enjoying this nice, sunny, pleasant weather, California does need more rain. And there's other places in throughout the U.S. that are getting too much rain. So right now we just ask in the name of Jesus that you would just shift the heavens and bring some of that rain over here to California and lighten up in those other areas that are flooding. And I just pray that you would bring the rain that is needed, just the right amount, not enough to... I mean, I know this sounds kind of real picky. This sounds like a real picky prayer, but, you know, you told us to ask what we want, and so I'm going to ask. And so we want rain that doesn't interfere with our commerce and with those who have to travel and work outside and those who have to be moving in a couple of weeks. But... we know that you can do all things, and so I ask this in the name of Jesus. And along those same lines, I ask regarding the finances for the church, and I know that you have always met our needs, and there's times when you've exceeded our expectations, and I just ask right now that once again, help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to keep our trust and just know that you are going to surprise us. You're going to meet our needs beyond our expectations, and you're going to be on time. We know it won't be our time, but it's going to be your timing. And just help us to stand firm and to rest in you. And I ask that in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, I come before you and I pray about the destroyer who is working in some of the people in our church and around. And there are people who are vulnerable to suggestions by the destroyer. Father, we know that there are many satanic forces around who would seek whom they may devour, and that some of us are vulnerable and weak. And so, Father, we pray that you would strengthen the weak. Open their eyes to the fact that they are being tempted and that they are causing damage and that they don't want to do that. We pray that you would open their eyes to this and that you would strengthen them to resist the suggestions of the destroyer. And in Jesus' name, we come against the work of the destroyer in our church, and we bind you and we command you to stay away from our church in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we lift up the ministry in Germany right now. Raymond and also his wife, Gina, and Sophia. And Father, we thank you for the many blessings, O Lord, that you bestow upon them. And now we ask you, Lord, that we go a step further. As they started ministering to people, O Lord, we thank you for giving them the anointing, for giving them the power, that, O Lord, that they will be effective witnesses, and that will see healing in people's lives and deliverance in people's lives, and also making disciples out of those people that they minister to, that they will be able to do the same thing as well. And we thank you, Lord, for increasing their team, the ministry team, O Lord, that they can reach out to many people, O Lord, even to thousands. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for victory there in that family. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and those that they reach out to, and those that you bring, the new people that you will bring. And thank you, Father, that area, Lord, of Germany will be a powerhouse. and it will be felt all around. We pray in the name of Jesus, and we thank you. Praise you, Father, for keeping them in good health, Lord, and with a mighty anointing. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Father, once again, we lift up Torbjorn and Grace in Sweden. Their needs this week are a little varied, and they are looking for a house. And it is a nice thing to be able to have your own place where you can call home, you feel safe, secure, and you know it's your own little place that you can decorate and do with as you please. And it is a nice thing to have that. And so, Father, they are looking for that. And, Father, we just ask that when it comes to that, you will simply open up the single door that they need and shut all the rest. Keep it nice and simple. So, Father, we do thank you for providing for them with that. And, Father, when it comes to their daughter, the education that she is receiving, the system in Sweden is humanistic, and they have rejected God, and as a consequence, they allow in all kinds of things that are supposedly educational. And in this case, this book is educational. It just teaches about the devil and his demons. And we could read the Bible for that if we wanted to know more about that. Father, when it comes to this daughter of theirs, we thank you for the discernment that she has to be able to see that there's something wrong with this and going to talk to her parents about this. But Father, we also ask that when it comes to this teacher and this horrible choice of a book, that there are many, many other copies out there. We could sit there and we could destroy every single evil book. But Father God, we need a heart change in this teacher. That that the choice of material that he would choose to bring into the classroom would instead be God-honoring. And that even though they have rejected you, God, revival really starts with one person on a local level, and it spreads out from there. And so, Father, I don't want to sit there and limit you. I don't want to put limits upon you. But you can do things that we can't even think or even imagine when it comes to something like this. And so, Father, I just want to be able to say, do what you can. Do what you want with this situation. Let us not put any restrictions, put you in a box. But, Father, work unrestricted with this teacher. Change his heart, because he can have access to the other students as well. Father, we do thank you for that. When it comes to their son, the little miracle son that they had, and what do you do when you're attacked in your mind, and Satan comes in and just tells you something that's and it's scary. I mean, it scares you to your core. This little son that she lost almost before he even came into this world, now Satan is saying, I'm going to take him. I'm going to try and take him again. So Father, we thank you for just protecting this boy. And the devil and his demons have simply got to back off. Father, we pray protection upon this, that whatever you have planned for this boy, we don't know right now. But Father, we know that you have a plan for this boy, that he will have the opportunity to choose to serve you or not at some point in the future. And the devil obviously sees him as a threat. He hates all of us as human beings because we're made in the image of God. And so, Father, we just rebuke the devil right now in the name of Jesus when it comes to that. That he would not have any victory, any foothold, anything. It would just be a complete defeat for him. And he will just walk away and, you know, lick his wounds later and try to do something else. And so, Father, we thank you once again that we've been able to stand here and to pray and to petition you. And I'm reminded of the fact that it's not how we start every single week or how we start our life or anything, but it's how we finish. And that as we come up here week after week, we are here, we are faithful, we petitioning, we seek you, we pray for the needs of other people, and we do see you working. And sometimes, you know, it's hard and it's long, as with the Raymond and Gina in Germany. But now they're able to stand and to be able to stand on their own feet. And like it says, and having done all, to stand. And Father, we thank you for that.
that we are seeing victories. Even if we don't see them, you know, right this instant. Father, we do thank you for that, that we are being faithful and we are being up here praying and petitioning you, and you are moving on our behalf. And we thank you for this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, I lift up this urgent need again for rain. Father God, we thank you for all the rain that you have provided, for the snow that will melt and become watershed. Father God, we are so grateful for all of the answers to our prayers. We're so grateful that you moved on in this way and helped the whole state of California and helped many people and many farmers and ranchers. But Lord, the Fresno Valley is still dry. It still isn't, they still don't have enough in their reservoirs. The government is still putting fish ahead of people. And Father, these ranchers, it isn't just a few little families, Lord God. These ranchers and farmers were feeding the whole nation with fruit and fresh vegetables and things that we need that only California and Florida, maybe in a few states, can grow plentifully. Father God, these people are going without their income because of it. And the government is still putting those itty-bitty fish in head of people. Father, we know that they may be important ecologically, but you created the earth and you know how to protect them. But Father God, we ask you to help these people and provide their livelihood and fill the reservoirs for them. And we ask especially for the Fresno Valley and that whole area. And Father, we thank you that you know when to give the rain and when to hold it back. And we're just grateful for your loving care all the time in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you heard the prayers being spoken here today. And we thank you, Lord, that these prayers are burning on the altar in heaven and that they will be answered according to your will, Father God, and in your timing. We thank you for that now in Jesus' name. And those who agree said, amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Children, we will take to their classes. The elderly gone. So send the teachers out.